So this is the last instalment of our series on the Nicene Creed, and I think it's been fabulous, hasn't it? Walking through these things step by step and just coming back to basics on the truths of what we believe. And so I've just got the joy of being able to focus on the last two lines of the Creed. And this is where we look forward to resurrection life and the hope set before us. All of these wonderful songs that we have sung this morning have been pointing us to that. And as a family, we're going to be going to Disney in September time. So I've been thinking a lot about that. And so I've entitled this talk, Future Hope to Infinity and Beyond. Have a bit of a Disney thing there. So it's just, yeah, I have loved this series. And as we've already heard through the communion, just through everything that's been said this morning, it is through the blood of Jesus that our sins are forgiven and we are offered eternal life. And it is this that we are talking about when we profess the creed and every time we say it. And the last couple of lines say, we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And again, you can do a lot on just that last word, amen. But the bit we're going to focus on is this trusting now in the resurrection to come. And I love that at the end of the Lectio, on the evening ones, if some of you do that, that ordinarily the prayer at the end, the very last line talks about trusting now in the resurrection to come. So yeah, being able to do this is really exciting because I've thought a lot about what that means to trust in the resurrection to come. And I know we're going to be singing it to finish our meeting, that Phil Wickham song, Jesus Christ, My Living Hope, speaks and points us towards the scripture in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, and this is the NIV version of it. It says, praise be to the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the Passion Translation, it says, celebrate with praises the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything we have in Jesus can only happen because he was resurrected from the dead. If that hadn't happened, then it just would not make any sense. And we as the people of God do not have a dead hope, do we? We have a living hope. That's what the scripture tells us. And in the world that is so troubled and hopeless, we need to be the people of God who can proclaim our hope, our living hope. Peter tells us this, doesn't he, in that scripture? The living hope. A living hope that will never end and sustain us whatever we endure. We have a living hope only because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And I was, again, thinking a lot about resurrection or the rest of it, and we've focused on that a few times, haven't we, throughout doing the creed. And the resurrection of the body is really important to our faith, and it's something we have to get to grips with because it is just one of those sort of strange concepts sometimes. But it's something that Jesus really communicated fully to his disciples so that they could fully understand that he was alive and he wasn't some ghostly apparition. In all of his resurrection appearances, he goes to great lengths to prove that he is indeed risen and that his body is there and it's whole and it's healed and all of the rest of it. And we see it in Luke's gospel where he states to his disciples, look at my hands and my feet, that it is I, touch me and see. Because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see, I have. So that, look at my hands and feet. And then the other thing that he does, he always, and again, and this is just something I think Jesus liked doing, was he was, after the resurrection, he was always going to look for something to eat. And it says, doesn't it, in scripture, they gave him a piece of baked fish, he took it and ate it in front of them. And whilst that might seem irrelevant to us, it's actually the fact that Jesus is eating. It's intended to communicate that he is indeed alive and risen in full body. And the fact that the disciples were willing to die to witness their confidence in the resurrection, I think, is seen as one of the greatest proofs that they had seen the risen Lord. Why would you go to such extent if it wasn't true? He has risen in his body so that we might know him, and that he will raise our bodies up on that day of resurrection too. Amen to that, because there's some bits of me that I'm going to be glad to say goodbye to. And I think it's a really difficult concept, and it is a bit like that whole kind of the idea, and I'm sort of thinking about infinity. It's one of these things that is really hard to grasp or even imagine, but it is so fundamental to our faith. And this can be really difficult, particularly when we face, you know, death, near-death experiences or health troubles or whatever it might be. It's really hard to really have hope in the resurrection to come. But what we see is, and again, the Apostle Paul puts this really, really, really nicely, is the proof is there. Remember that Paul knew well, many of those who'd witnessed the resurrection, not least Peter, who'd rushed first to the empty tomb with the other apostles, and he had subsequently seen and talked to Jesus. Paul is clear in writing to the Christians at Corinth, and this is, you can find this in 1 Corinthians 15, that our own resurrection and to eternal life is intimately bound up with that of Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. You know, I stand here today, my preaching is not in vain because I can proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I think that resurrection power of Jesus is a sense of a source of strength and comfort and hope that we can rely on every day. And it is a reminder to us that with God, all things are possible. We just have to choose, as with everything in the Christian faith, to live and walk in that power that Jesus has harnessed for us. It says in Philippians 3 and verse 10 to 11, and this is the ESV. I think actually most of the scriptures I'll read will be from the ESV going forward. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And these are really worth having a look at in a bit more detail, because what we see here is that Paul talks about knowing God, and knowing God being the secret to harnessing that resurrection power. We need to know God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. As Sue shared, we have to actively pursue him and get to know him and walk, and then we can walk in that resurrection power. We can only do that from a place of intimacy and knowing him and being with him. So tonight when we come and we gather together, it's really important, isn't it, that we spend time in his presence so that we know him and can hear him, and then we can go out in power to do the things that we are called to do. The resurrection power that we have through Jesus gives us the ability to overcome sin and temptation, to find hope and joy, even in very difficult circumstances, and also to live with the assurance that one day we will be raised to a new life with Christ. Again, we've sung it in this morning. So what I'm going to do is go through those three things, just a little bit step by step, to focus on what I think God wants to speak to us about this. So the power to overcome sin. John 8 and verse 36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It is resurrection power that has set us free from the bondage of sin and the mistakes we have made in the past. We are new creations because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We are full of resurrection power of God when we believed. We have been set free. And we can only overcome sin through walking in the power of his resurrection. Without that, you might as well not bother. So how do you do that? So the only way to overcome sin is to renew your mind with the word of God. We've talked about that often. And again, as we continue to sit in his presence, reading his word, inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us, then we will go stronger. And then we can push back all that Satan will try to plague us with. So being in his presence, really, really important to overcoming sin in your life, whatever that may be. And we've all got stuff that we need to bring before God. There's a Chris Tomlin song called Resurrection Power, and the couple of verses from that, it says, "You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all of my shame." I think actually there was a reference, wasn't there, to God taking away our shame. "I see the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom, no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom because we have resurrection power living on the inside of us." The ability to be able to live in hope, I think, is really, really important in these days. As I've said already, it feels hopeless, doesn't it? Often it feels hopeless. But we, as the people of God, have a hope. Which we have to, again, be able to articulate that in such a way that, it can bring other people hope. The evangelist Josh McDowell said, "No matter how devastating our struggles, disappointments and troubles are, they are only temporary. No matter what happens to you, no matter the depth of tragedy or pain you face, no matter how death stalks you and your loved ones, the resurrection promises you a future of immeasurable good." Isn't that good news? That is just such good news, that despite everything, the resurrection promises us immeasurable good. And it says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly more than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." You and I are filled with the resurrection power of Jesus. I'm going to keep reiterating that this morning. And this power can be activated as we abide in him, as we have mentioned already. The resurrection power of God is the most powerful force in the universe, but it only works if we activate it. So how can we do that? Well, we have to activate it through faith, don't we? That faith in the unseen, what we can't see, what we can't touch. We have access to all of the wonders of God, healing, joy, peace, courage, and inner strength when we exercise our faith. When trials come, don't shrink back. Instead, read scripture out loud that speaks about life and healing. Pray God's word back to him. Ephesians 1 and verse 18 to 20 says, "Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places." That's one of the greatest prayers that I think Paul prayed for the early church. And we can make that prayer our own. We can pray that we would know God so intimately, so our hearts are enlightened, so we can understand the future that God has planned for us, that is good, that is hopeful. And again, these spiritual truths can only be understood by spending time in his presence and learning to listen for his quiet words. I think we all probably do worry at times about what tomorrow we may bring. I don't think one of us could sit in this room and not say we don't worry about things, because that's part of being human. But as we know, life isn't easy, and God doesn't promise that our journey will be trouble-free. But our inheritance is in being saved. We are in his arms. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know who holds our future, and that's how we can live in the hope of the resurrection. And again, coming back to that scripture, and we'll keep coming back to this one, 1 Peter 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and the Father to our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So let's join Peter in that moment, and let our hearts be full of praise and thanksgiving for what God has done for us. We have been given a marvellous gift of new birth. We have been given access to all of the things of God, including resurrection power. And not only do we have that for now, right now, in this earth, in this body, in this moment in time, but we have to be grateful for that living hope that we have to come in eternity. And again, being born again, as we know, is so transformational. And as we partner with Jesus and invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we will gain a new purpose, meaning and hope, not just for this life, but for the one to come. And then thirdly, and this is the, you know, the wonderful end to the story, is that death is overcome and we get to spend eternity with Christ. J.C. Ryle says, "There is a resurrection after death. Let this never be forgotten. The life that we live here in the flesh is not all. The visible world around us is not the only world with which we have to do. All is not over when the last breath is drawn and men and women are carried to their long home in the grave. The trumpet shall one day sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. All that are in the grave shall hear Christ's voice and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. This is one of the great foundation truths of the Christian religion. Let us cling to it and never let it go." In Isaiah 25 and verse 8, it says, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces." We've had reference to that as well this morning. "And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." The Lord has spoken that death will be swallowed up forever. And whilst this verse points us to the future of God's final judgment of the world, it's not only that death shall be swallowed up in victory, but God will indeed wipe away all of those tears. It was death that was introduced at the beginning of time throughout Adam's rebellion, and it will one day be eliminated by the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18 says, "But we do not want to be uniform brothers about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with a voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." He said this came about because the Christians at Thessalonica were really anxious about what happened to their loved ones who had died. They were believers in Christ, but they were a bit confused about where their loved ones had gone. So Paul was encouraging them to remember their hope is in heaven. It wasn't the end for their loved ones. They were just sleeping. So just like the Christians in Thessalonica, we have hope in resurrection power that we will see our friends and families again if they knew Jesus as their saviour. And 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54 and 55 says, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" So we have been made righteous through the death of Jesus on the cross. We are new creations in him by that. We have legally, through the blood of Jesus, obtained the right to eternal life. We are no longer affected by the curse of sin and death. Isn't that good news? And Jesus is interceding for us in the throne room of God. We have won the battle over death. And right now on earth, while these bodies are imperfect, when we reach heaven, we will be given a new one that is imperishable. What a wonderful hope in Christ, knowing that by his death, the soul-destroying sting of sin has been removed forever and death has been defeated. There will come a time for the world to end and Jesus returns to claim his bride. Might be today. Who knows, on Pentecost Sunday, wouldn't that be awesome? He will come back and he will claim his bride. We sung about that this morning as well. And we'll be caught up in heaven with Jesus. What a glorious day that will be. So these are a few little facts for us, true facts of a believer's life. Jesus is coming back soon for us, his bride. Soon? Well, we could debate that one all day, couldn't we? But he is coming back soon. If we know Jesus as our Saviour, we will be going to the Father's house. We will be given glorified, resurrected bodies, and we will live with him forever. So don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in him, because he promises to never, ever leave you. So just in conclusion, Philippians 3 and verse 20 and 21 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. We need to joyfully have heavenly expectations stored up in our hearts. We need to long for heaven. This will help us keep a healthy perspective as we walk in resurrection power in this earth. And we do that, as I've said 3 or 4 times already, we do that by actively pursuing a deeper relationship with him. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 to 17 says, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Paul's encouraging the Christians in Thessalonica again to stand firm in their belief of the resurrection of Jesus. And that's what we need to do, isn't it, in these days. We need to stand firm in the things we believe. All of the things that we have gone through in the creed, we need to stand firm in them. Yes, persecution will come, but Paul encouraged them to remember that they have been taught about the gospel and to seek out time with God so they can be encouraged and strengthened for the work that God had prepared them to do. I think that's excellent advice for us too. We need to hold tight to the gospel and all that is within it. So looping back round to where our hope rests, and Val, I think it'd be good if you come up and just to with the band and start to lead us in the final song. That'd be really good. J.L. Packer said, optimism is a wish without warrant. Christian hope is a certainty guaranteed by God himself. Optimism reflects ignorance as to whether good things will ever actually come. Christian hope expresses knowledge that every day of his life and every moment beyond it, the believer can say with truth, on the basis of God's own commitment, that the best is yet to come. I was thinking about just this whole thing about hope and the living hope. And I was reminded of, there was a lady that died, I think it was possibly 2 years ago now, it was a lady who died of bowel cancer. I don't know if you remember her. Dame Deborah James was her name. And she had a thing that she lived her life by. And this was rebellious hope. And I'd like to think that actually our hope, whilst it is a living hope, is actually, it's rebellious, isn't it? And this is how she describes it in one of her quotes. It says, rebellious hope is finding light in the darkness. It's choosing to remain hopeful even when it might seem like there's nothing to be hopeful for. It's defying expectations. It's choosing to change the narrative. Oh, we need to do that in society today. It's being the force to make the change. That sounds like a good set of things that I want to be living by in Jesus, you know, rebelliously speaking out about his goodness and the hope that we have in him based on the fact he is raised from the dead. So let's end the series where we started the journey. I read out a scripture that kicked us off, and it's from Hebrews 10 and verse 23, and it says, and this is just a great reminder for us all, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Amen. So Val's going to lead us in one final song as we bring this all together, and in particular think about Jesus as our living hope. So I'll just pray for us, if we'll all stand, if you're able, that would be fabulous. So Lord, we thank you for taking us on this journey through the Creed, Lord, where we've been able to focus on your truths, where we've been able to come before you and really state again what we believe and what we hope for. Lord, you are so good. So Lord, help us in these days to stand firm on your gospel, to stand firm in your truths, to be able to articulate the hope that we have in this dark and desperate world. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing amongst us at this time. And Lord, I pray that as we go through the rest of today, Lord, as we are thinking about tonight, Lord, that we will come before you, that we will spend time with you, that we will get to know you more, so that we can outwork the good things that you have planned for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.